This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has taken on the challenge of the growing disparity between rich and poor. He's just back from New York City, where he attended the very first meeting of a task force set up by the U.S. Conference of Mayors on Income Inequality.
Walsh is actually the vice chairman of that task force, and a big focus of his administration is the dramatic wage gap between Boston's well-off residents and its financially struggling ones.
And a new national report just out this week warns that that gap will continue to widen unless cities take action and mayors become advocates.
In the words of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, mayors are on the front lines and we must act. We spoke to Mayor Walsh before today's show and asked him about his trip yesterday to New York.
There was 25 mayors from around the country. We had Mayor Nutter from Philadelphia there. Mayor Rahm Emanuel from Chicago was there. Mayors from Schenectady and Albany and City Warren from Newton was all there. And we're talking about really coming up with a blueprint on how to address the issue of income inequality, I should say, in the United States of America. The three issues they really focused on yesterday, one was about wages and wage gap, minimum wage, living wage, family leave. Another was child care, early education, which is a task force I led. And then the third was broadband and the lack of access to broadband around the country.
Oh, that's interesting. That was factored in as a wage gap issue.
As a wage gap issue. Yesterday, I met with the mayors of Kansas City and Austin, who have both teamed up with Google to completely wire their whole city and bring internet service to their city. So when I see things like that, I mean, those are things that I'd like to see bring to Boston. You know, have our city wired by a Google or maybe push some of the companies that we have here in Boston to look at bringing internet access to the whole city.
Right. I think often people forget to think about broadband and internet access as something that holds people back from jobs and wealth.
Not everyone is computer literate, but for example, if you want a job in the state or the city or in a lot of industry now, you have to go online and apply.
Right.
You know, at some point, we're going to have close to 100% of the population computer literate because of everything heading that way.
You know, these are major, major economic and societal issues, education, housing, you know, big macroeconomic trends dealing with improving public schools and trends in the housing sector. And to a great degree, they've been sort of intractable so far. So what do you think mayors can do to make them less intractable?
Well, I think mayors can set policy in place because we have the ability to, many of us, at least I can speak for Boston, to put some programming in place right now, really come up with some solutions and not just talk about it. The plan that the mayors are coming up with, it's really just a piece of the puzzle. I mean, you have to attract companies to look at creating more jobs, manufacturing jobs. This has been in the making for over 40 years, this disparities between the rich and the poor. And in some cases, I'll speak for Boston, the gap between the middle class and the poor. You know, we're trying to create as many opportunities for employment as possible while we're doing that. Also trying to go back and train people for job training and work on helping people help themselves. I think there's some financial literacy that has to come into play here. So people understand the importance of when they're earning a few dollars, that they're not going out and buying things that they don't need. It's a full program of a roadmap we need to do.
Mayor Walsh, I want to play you a piece of sound from your predecessor, Tom Menino. This is last December when he was delivering his final official speech to the Boston Chamber of Commerce, and here's part of what he said.
More of the same, even a good same, won't be enough. You, the partners in the business community, will need to see that it's in your interest, too, the city isn't a place divided. You aren't talking about this in your boardrooms. You should be. You aren't worrying about what it means for your workforce, your customers. You are missing the boat. If you don't think a new generation of division will change the city, you haven't looked around the world, where deep inequalities breed deep distrust.
Mayor Walsh, you have also talked about the importance of working with businesses to solve the wage gap problem, just like Mayor Menino did. What role do you want businesses to play that they aren't playing now or aren't playing enough of?
Standard & Poor's just did a study the other day and said that the inequality wage gap is slowing down our economy. And when you have a rating agency such as that making a bold statement like that, it clearly is a problem. And I think the business community is aware of that. Where we can partner with the business community and opportunities for employment, I think that that's key. I think opportunities as far as fair wages and good health benefits is another area where employers can be partner here. Some people will talk about taxing businesses, and I don't know if taxing businesses is the way to solve this gap. There's a lot of opportunity here for us to create employment, and they need to help me in creating that employment, as well as we have to give them a friendly business environment which we are giving them in Boston.
When you were in New York yesterday, or even at any point during your term so far, have you met or talked to any mayors who you think are trying innovative things or have innovative ideas that you'd like to try out here in Boston?
Seattle's looking at pre-K like we are here, expanding pre-K. Philly's marketing their city, using their history as a marketing tool.
Huh, for tourism and new businesses?
For new businesses and tourism, yes. The mayor of San Francisco is really focusing on high tech and partnering. When he has conferences, he's bringing the United States Conference of Mayors to San Francisco next year. Smart by him. He's going to have a showcase of most of the mayors around the country coming to his city, and they're going to go back and talk about his city and how they're doing high tech there. So I like some of the ideas that they've had. I got to tell you, Boston's pretty innovative. A lot of the things we've done already, we're also taking a regional approach. We're working with our partner cities are next to us, Cambridge and Braintree and Quincy and Somerville. Because if we can create an industry in this region, that's going to be beneficial to all of us, not just one city each competing. If Cambridge and Boston are both competing for the same business, which we are, but the same companies, you don't make the gains. But if we can actually lure an industry to this region, that's what we're going to see some significant gains.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
We mentioned that a national report out this week shows the income gap between rich and poor continuing to widen. That report also looks specifically at Boston, and it was done by IHS Global Insight. An economist there, Jim Diffley, joins us now to talk about its findings. Jim, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And Jim, this was a report that the U.S. Conference of Mayors commissioned you to do, your group to do?
That's correct. We do economic forecasting and consulting across the country, in fact, throughout the world. The mayors came to us having heard about and felt in their own cities the widening disparity between rich and poor, and asked us to document it for them, both for the U.S. And for the metros to the extent that we could.
Tell us what you found about Boston, particularly relative to other big cities that might be fair to compare it to.
Well, Boston itself is one of the wealthier cities, as you know, in the profile of high-income earners. We did find, for instance, in Boston that the gap measured in one way between high-income and low-income households widened in the last decade. For instance, and the way we found that, by the way, is that overall income growth in Boston per household was about 19%. That is, if you averaged all income over the metro area.
And that's in what period of time? What period of time was that?
Since 2005.
Okay.
The median income, though, the income of the middle household and the income distribution, exactly half the population earning more and half the households earning less, only gained slightly less than 16% in nominal income over that period. So the difference between the average and the median tells you that more of the income gains will continue to go to the higher income earners.
And there are some other studies. So your study basically put Boston roughly, let's say, in the middle of about 350 cities looked at. And compared to some other studies, yours was a little bit more positive. But I understand that
Boston behaves similarly to the average metro across the U.S. in that particular metric. There are many other ways you can think about income distribution, though.
You know, I asked Mayor Walsh this question, but I want to get your perspective, too. Do you think that these problems, the problems that create the income gap, are things that a mayor is really capable of changing or making a difference on?
Well, mayors obviously have a limited array of policy tools at their disposal, but I do think they have some effective tools. The mayor, and I was with the mayor in New York yesterday, for instance, talking about pre-K education, educational attainment in general, the imparting of skills and educational levels that are valued in today's market to the previously less than fortunate households and individuals does help at least raise the income at the lower end.
Of course, also what's needed is private industry taking part, the educational system, banks and lenders. Would you say that the job of mayors is basically to corral all those different entities to try to achieve a larger goal?
Well, I think the job of mayors is certainly to lead, and if corral is a term you choose, that's fine. I think mayors have particular policy tools at their disposal, but then they're also leaders of the community.
Jim, I want to bring in another voice. This is Darlene Lombos. She is executive director of Community Labor United. This is a Boston-based group that basically combines the power of community-based organizations and labor unions to try to help low- and middle-income families. And Darlene is also vice president of the Greater Boston Labor Council.
Darlene, thanks for you, to you too, for coming on Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
So through your work, you end up interacting a lot and helping a lot of low and middle income families. What are you seeing and hearing from these families about the reality of the growing wage gap?
Well, there's the real situation, I actually think, I mean, there certainly is a wage gap, but there's really an accountability gap as well. There are businesses that are operating in the city of Boston and across the country that have been contributing to this wage theft crisis that we see in America today.
And actually, define that for us. When you say wage theft, what do you mean?
It takes many forms, but it's basically when a worker is being paid less than minimum wage, when they're not being paid overtime, or when they're being forced to work off the clock, or they're being misclassified as an independent contractor so that employers can actually avoid paying minimum wage, overtime, or workman's compensation or payroll taxes.
So maybe deprived of compensation that they deserve based on the work they're doing.
Absolutely. And there's certainly a cost to the workers, but there's a cost to the city, to our neighborhoods, to even responsible businesses, and to the Commonwealth, to our states, to our government. In fact, last year, wage theft is a growing problem, and certainly is part of the underground economy, where and there's a task force in Massachusetts that is called the Joint Task Force on the Underground Economy and Misclassification of Employees, and they collected nearly $15.6 million last year in unpaid wages and back taxes and unemployment insurance from employers who were not following even just basic labor law.
What do you, Darlene, feel like you would like to see Mayor Walsh do? What do you think he can do?
Well, we are working with the Walsh administration and Councillor Wu and Councillor Jackson, and with our unions and with immigrant worker centers across Greater Boston on proposing a wage theft ordinance that would particularly look at how the city can use their authority to work directly with the AG's office, with the Attorney General's office, to expedite wage theft cases by working directly with these worker centers, to use the city's authority to ensure that businesses follow the letter of the law and are not stealing from workers who contribute to the building of the and strengthening the city every day.
One of the clients that you have worked with is an employee at Logan Airport, a place where often there are sort of hourly wage jobs where a lot of people who deal with this income gap, this wage gap work. And you've talked, I believe, about how this person has seen her wage decline over the years, from at one point making $16 an hour to declining down to $9 an hour. Is that a typical story?
It is, and it's even more typical that people are going to part-time work and even low-wage work and working three or four jobs just to make ends meet, because, in fact, many of the jobs that we've actually created are in the low-wage sector. There are so many other cases, individuals who, for example, here in the city of Boston, AMC Lowe's hired a U.S. cleaning company and a janitor.
The movie chain Lowe's?
Yep, the AMC Lowe's, the theaters. Mm-hmm. They hired a contractor, U.S. Cleanway, who didn't pay their workers. And six of them tried to speak out against it and were fired. And there was a case in the Attorney General's office that required them to pay those back wages and hire these workers back. And over a year, they didn't get paid. They just didn't get paid those wages. And so with the leadership of the Chelsea Collaborative, which has a worker center, these workers went together with this community organization, and we supported them and walked into AMC Lowe's and said, this is not acceptable. Employers in the city of Boston need to be responsible to workers.
That's Darlene Lombo. She is Executive Director of Community Labor United in Boston. We've also been speaking with Jim Diffley, an economist for IHS Global Insight. Jim and Darlene, thanks to both of you.
And
thanks so much.
And stay with us. Still ahead, big changes in college sports and the debate about paying college athletes. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.